You're listening to Irish Illustrated Insider with Tim O'Malley and Pete Sampson. I'm Tim Priester. It's 2 days before Notre Dame takes on first ever opponent New Mexico, the first of seven home games at Notre Dame Stadium this year. Before you guys say anything about the matchup between Notre Dame and New Mexico, I'm going to remind you.
I can't wait.
I'm going to remind you.
I wasn't going to say anything.
of last year's game against Ball State when we all basically said that there was no chance that Ball State would be competitive. And maybe we should say Notre Dame allowed them to be competitive in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. I know you guys, I wasn't on the podcast earlier this week, but I know you referenced the question about to Brian Kelly about Ball State, and I think there are certainly some differences. The biggest one is they didn't play Michigan the week before, and they didn't play that well the week before. So I think those two things sort of eliminate the hangover effect. It's just like you look at Notre Dame under Brian Kelly, when they play poorly, when they play out of character is often after a big game, not before one. So this is before one, not after one. Ball State was after Michigan. This is before Georgia. So I don't really have much of a concern of a Ball State redo, in part because they had Ball State last year. It's a pretty easy go-to if you're Brian Kelly.
Agreed, and not to pile on, but if Ian Book started the Ball State game, they'd have won the 33-14 game comfortably and still looked bad, but no one would have cared because it wouldn't have been that close.
Yeah, they're on red alert because of what happened last year against Ball State. Chase Claypool said something interesting the other night during interviews with the players that, last year they were talking about how many guys were going to get into the Ball State game, and they're avoiding that at all costs this year. It's about playing championship-level football and playing better than they did against Louisville and building some momentum going into Georgia. So they're on red alert. I don't expect them to have any kind of letdown with this, especially since you had, as you said, Pete, a less than top performance against Louisville, and you've had extra time to rest up and prepare for it.
They should play a ton of guys, but coaches don't need to harp on it.
No, you don't. And that was Brian Kelly. If that's what he was doing and he took blame the other day, then that's the absolute wrong thing to do as a head coach, be talking about that.
He probably did, because if you recall, we looked out there on kickoff return. This is the least important part of that game, but it is telling. They had nine new guys
to start the game.
No, and all new blockers. Javon McKinley was blocking. He hadn't played in 2 years. It was like, obviously, they're not taking this that seriously. And he looked like he hadn't played in 2 years when he was trying to block. Because, the other team does have... By being so much better than a team, you should go out there and kill them with your best players first.
One of the things that was really interesting about the Ball State game was how poorly the offensive line played. And that is something I was thinking about for Louisville, because 3-4 defense, different looks, you got to communicate very well. And the line played really, really well. So to sort of take that off the table, to take the quarterback play off the table, to take Khalid Kareem and Julian Okwara are not going to play as poorly as they did against Louisville off the table. It's very difficult for me. If they have any trouble against New Mexico at all, it is a real issue for the entire season.
Again, as we sit here right now,
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, as we sit here right now, it's very difficult to see that, because New Mexico lost their top eight tacklers, 10 of their top 11. They've now lost their nose tackle, Blackwell. They can do some things offensively. Bob Davie will not be here. Saga Tuatelli, their offensive line coach, will serve as the interim head coach for this game. And they've got some assets on the offensive side of the ball. They've got some receivers. Their tight end is good. They like their offensive line. They like their quarterback when Tuioti. Thank you. I had it down right.
It's
I
easy said, before we're it's recording.
Easy when we're, it's easy when you're not recording. Tuioti.
It's easy really practice, right?
It's really fairly phonetic if you look at it. So Tuioti, and I said it differently on Monday because I've heard it twice with two different pronunciations, but I trust this one. But anyway, Tuioti, who missed their first game against Sam Houston State that they won by a touchdown, but allowed more than 500 yards to Sam Houston State. Tuioti will be back. We expect him to play. Brant Hughes, that started the game, is out with a shoulder injury. Sheeran Jones, who came in for Hughes when he was injured, he's a Tennessee transfer, more of the runner of the two. But, Tim, you heard earlier this week that they're going to go with Tuioti pretty much the whole way, most likely.
Yeah, Steve Vergen, who covers his team, explained that he does not think Jones will play. Now, I think he'll play because the game will get out of hand and he would play. Yeah. But he meant in a competitive – this is – no, they want Tuioti to play. He was their – he's the guy that they figured would win the job, and he definitely would have won the job if not for a death in his family where he just kind of – he had to leave for more than a week, and it was before the opener. So it's not like he's a new starter or he didn't win the job. This would be like, hey, Ian Book's back. He's starting.
And Tuioti was injured early last season. I think he only played two games or was injured in the second game. And so this is the guy that they want at quarterback. Two weeks ago, we talked about Louisville and their special teams. New Mexico is very good at special teams. Their kicker was 4-for-4 on field goals with a long of 44 against Sam Houston State. He was 7-of-8 last year. Their punt returner, their leading punt returner last year, their punt returner averaged 21.2 yards per punt return. He's gone, but that unit's good, and their kick coverage a lot less.
How many returns did he have? That's a really good job.
He had like 15 or 16. That's really one touchdown. Yeah. So he obviously had some long ones in there, and their kick coverage is very good, under 15 yards for what that's worth anymore. So once again, really the best aspect of Notre Dame's opponent coming up is probably their special teams, and that's kind of been mitigated here with the kick return.
New Mexico played Wisconsin last year and lost 45-14. They played Texas A&M the year before and lost 55-14. There's no reason that the score should be dissimilar to that. And in fact, it may be more inflated than that.
Notre Dame should, again, we said this about Ball State, Notre Dame should score at least 50 against New Mexico.
Yes.
If you scored 35 against a really well-coached Louisville team, you should be in the 50s at home in your home.
And this also goes into the after effect of Louisville, where one of the frustrations for Notre Dame is how slow they played. I think they had 65 plays, which is the low mark for Notre Dame with Ian Book as your starting quarterback. In his previous 10 starts, they averaged 75 offensive plays. Twice they hit 88 offensive plays. So I think that only compounds the likelihood of Notre Dame scoring 50 or more, because they're going to try to snap off 75, 80 plays. If they run, let's say they run 42 offensive plays in the first half, they will be into the 40s. They'll be probably at 42 points by halftime.
That would be the ideal efficiency mark for the game, and we'll get into this with questions, because that allows Phil Dracovic to play more and to run the offense.
Yeah, I was saving that.
But Pete said 42. Like 28 is not 28. You still roll out Ian Book. You know, it's yeah. So I think 42 is a lot, but I mean somewhere in between would also be good
if you get the ball. I'm saying
it's like
you get the ball and then you score right before halftime.
I would have thought six touchdowns. In fact, in my preview, I said six touchdowns on about 14 possessions against Louisville. They got five with some better success rate on third down. They probably would have gotten six. And Louisville also had two long drives. One they did score, one they didn't score. I wouldn't think New Mexico will have two long drives outside of a scoring drive also for Louisville. That hurt Notre Dame's possessions.
Yeah,
as well.
This is a game where I see the opposing kicker kick three field goals.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good kicker. One of the things, you know, we suggested that Louisville would have some success offensively. New Mexico runs a spread option type deal with Joe Daly as their new offensive coordinator, who came from Liberty. I believe Liberty beat New Mexico, and then Bob Davey ended up hiring him. So there, it could be a little
that hiring approach works every time.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a little tricky, but I don't see the deception in our offense that we saw in Louisville's.
No, and passes was fast when he used the deception to his advantage. Right. Was the main thing. I mean, Juwan Pass is a good athlete, and we said there's going to be one drive for Louisville where it looks like Notre Dame has no idea what's going on because it's the opener against a new offense they can't prepare for with good athletes. There were two.
And now
shouldn't be more than a half of a drive where that happens in this game.
And now New Mexico, Tuioti, whether they want him at quarterback or not, it's his first game of the year, not his second, which it would have been, which... You know, Ian Book's looking forward to his second start after a little bit of shaky first start. I imagine we will maybe kind of sort of hear something about Cole Kmet tonight. He was in a red jersey I think it was late last week.
I think Tom Lloyd posted a picture of him from practice this week that he was in a red.
He was still in a red.
But it was a Monday or Tuesday thing where you don't have to get into it yet.
Yeah, I think that they would like to get him on the field, but they're going to be cautious because they want him at peak efficiency, whatever that may be, next week when they get to Georgia.
My hunch is that he does not play. And I don't really have a lot of inside information on that.
Yeah.
The only firm info from the Goob that is like, he will definitely play against Georgia, which makes New Mexico sort of a wash.
Yeah.
I kind of agree because of what Tim said. I was like, well, get him in there at some point to run down the field and get his feet wet. But as Priester pointed out, it's hard to go into a game and not think of being physical as a tight end in any way. You can't like go in there thinking, don't hurt my shoulder. It's almost doesn't yeah. just you, go in and play Georgia. Instead,
right. You're either ready to play or you're not. If you're not physically, mentally, emotionally ready to play, then don't then. And I'm not putting that on Cole Kmet. I'm just saying if that's how they've kind of couched this whole thing is, man, we need you at top level, whatever that is for Georgia, then I just don't, I don't know exactly what they're, does it really matter?
What's more competitive? Cole Kmet going out against New Mexico or going against Alohi Gilman and Owusu-Koramoah
next Wednesday
practice?
And Thursday. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a guy they have confidence in that he understands the offense, he understands the checks, he's going to know what he's doing, so it's not like he has to get in there and get his feet wet in order to be playing even better football the next week. So we probably won't get complete clarity on that tonight with Brian Kelly's press conference, but we'll know for sure then on Saturday. Anything else you guys want to hit in the first segment? That sounds like a no. We'll be back for segment two, burning up the boards.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Burning up the boards brought to you by Rent Like a Champion, South Bend's largest vacation rental company with 1,000 weekend home rentals close to Notre Dame Stadium, available for Fighting Irish game days. Irish Illustrated readers and listeners can get $100 off their booking with the promo code IRISH2019. We start with Not Jay Tafel. I think we can all agree. Not Jay Tafel 1, sorry. Yes. Not to be confused with Not Jay Tafel. I think we can all agree Notre Dame will defeat New Mexico, maybe not cover, but win convincingly. That being said, what would be a good performance by the defense? No more than 14 points and less than 300 yards allowed?
I don't know, man. I say no touchdowns allowed. No touchdowns allowed until the fourth quarter. And then when those guys come in and are trying to figure things out, that could be the only touchdown you allow. A really good would be 9 points or something like that. Good field goal kicker. They'll drive. Everybody drives some. It's college football now, right?
Yeah, I think there's enough diversity in their offense that they can have some success and get a couple strength.
Got to get your good players out of the game, too, if you're Notre Dame, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. You know, I'd like to see some production from the buck position. I think I have more like an individual basis.
That's
is sort point. Of like how I will evaluate the defense. I mean, the Kareem Okwara actually play.
That's no chance they won't.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I'd like to see Jack Lamb get reps with the base defense at buck. I'm sort of curious if Bo Bauer gets reps as the backup Mike.
I'm still doubting that. I know Brian Kelly said that the other day, but what about Shane Simon? Simon can play buck.
He's got to play somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would play. I mean, I would play Simon over Bauer, but I would rather play Simon at buck.
I think
if Bauer can help him, Mike. That's the only.
Yeah, it's the point is there. I just like the individuals of the defense. I'm much more curious about than like the statistical collective. Like how many rushing yards they give up.
No, I mean, I agree. And that's, you know, especially with slop time in the second half, some things can happen there. But I would just say score at least 50, no more than 17.
And more than 17.
Yeah, I mean, even then, it's...
Unless it's two touchdowns in the last 5 minutes type junk that happens.
I just got a Ball State flashback. But anyway, that's kind of...
You don't think there will be Julian Love saving a throwback to the tackle touchdown that Notre Dame can qualify for
the playoffs because of?
No,
I really don't.
Remember that?
I really don't.
That was to the South Bend native. They did a tackle-eligible throwback play, and only Julian Love saw it coming. He defeated a block and tackled the guy. They might not have gone to the playoffs. Or they would have gone to overtime.
Well, if they lose, they wouldn't have gone to the playoffs. No. NDFB, in reality, this is a warm-up for Georgia. At what point do you take Ian Book out and let Phil Dracovic get some live snaps?
As soon as Ian Book plays well enough for the satisfaction of Chip Long. That's what the issue is. I mean, if Ian Book needs a full game for Chip Long to be like, all right, you're ready to go. You have mastery of these passing concepts. Then play him the whole game.
Boy, that'd be unfortunate.
It would be bad. But maybe they have like 8 touchdowns worth of stuff to material to work out. I don't know. But that is way more important than like, well, let's get Phil Dracovic ready in case he has to go in at Georgia. No, get Ian Book ready for Georgia. Phil Dracovic, that's secondary.
Well, they won't win if Phil Dracovic has to go into Georgia. So that's a good point, I would say. But I think Phil Dracovic could use some snaps.
Sure.
Just in case.
Yeah. I would like to see it.
Yeah.
But
you're right that Ian Book has to play and play great against Georgia for them to have a chance.
Let me see Wake Forest him, Ian Book, and then you can pull him in the middle of the third quarter.
That'd be the cutoff. Not the cutoff. That's exactly where you should pull, middle of the third quarter. He should have done enough, right?
That's right. Theoretically, 35, maybe even 42 points in the first half. You start Book in the second
half. And he goes out.
Let him have a series, maybe two. And then he goes out. And then you can't worry about hurting New Mexico's feelings. You've got to let Phil Dracovic, if you get to that situation, Pete, you've got to let Phil Dracovic run the offense. Not so much if you need him against Georgia, but just moving forward, you've got to let him run the offense.
You'll
so that
need
the
him
next time he goes in.
This year you'll need him.
Almost undoubtedly. At some point, Book's going to go the whole year without getting like dinged and have to sit out a couple plays. That's virtually impossible.
I am more interested in, is Phil Dracovic ready for a Virginia Tech, Boston College than I am Georgia? Because it just doesn't make a difference at Georgia.
I would agree with that. But, this is not – when are you going to get your next opportunity to play him extensively? It's probably not going to be in games 3 and 4. It would be then 5 against Bowling Green. Whatever. In a perfect world, it's an opportunity for him to run the offense. – Don't worry about offending anybody. We're doing this for the development of our quarterback position. And if somebody's offended by that, then so be it.
ND Bayo 5, how much did these 2 warm-up games benefit the Irish before Georgia? Would it have been more beneficial to have 2 games under their belt versus more talented teams?
Well, Louisville is an ACC team, and they won 57 games from 2012 to 2017. So it's not like, when the game was – when they knew they were going to play Louisville in 2019 – you're thinking Lamar Jackson, and you're thinking a pretty good test in your opener against an ACC team with athletes that are doing good things. So you can't control that. Would it have been better? Not necessarily. I think Louisville was enough of a test to get you started. Maybe it would have been better to switch them. Not that you can control that completely either. I don't know, but I think the first 2 opponents are fine. That's what everybody else generally.
That's what Georgia's doing.
Yeah, I mean that's
what they got their test too at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
that's a Louisville
right,
type test.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I think for Notre Dame, going on the road is beneficial.
The
at Louisville part of it, like the at is probably more significant than the Louisville. That's something. But just be careful what you ask for here, because like Notre Dame was like, we can't open with Michigan when they have a game to play. We have to move the BYU game to the opener, and then you lose to BYU.
I'll tell you. Well, don't move a quality team to the opener. I will say this. It doesn't benefit you to play two Louisvilles because you get beat up more. And there's the third game against a Power 5 team in a row, that's sometimes the time people bet against Notre Dame in the past because it's the third physical game you've played. The bye week... Pete's gonna laugh, but the bye week helped the way it worked out.
I mean, always comes at a good time.
Every time, but this time it actually did, Pete.
You
no, I just think that
from your first game to your second game.
So Georgia will be playing their fourth game, and they have 2 easy ones in between, a little test, and boy, did they just dismiss that test like it.
Yeah.
Just the most boring. We are gonna run the ball, and then we're gonna stop you from moving, and the game's gonna be over, and all of our fans are sitting in your stadium. Now, Vandy, I don't think had the bite without Shermer that they had last year against Notre Dame. But, boy, that was an ugly. I started looking at that one. Georgia can run. I didn't
see as much of that, not yet anyway. Was it uglier than Clemson A&M? Because that was pretty hard to watch because A&M.
And Georgia just ran the ball at will and stopped them and got the ball back every time.
That Clemson A&M game could have gone 11 quarters.
What do you want to do if a team they literally just kept running the ball? And they just ran the ball at them.
Well, that's what they do. And they will do that against Notre Dame if they are afforded that opportunity. Troy Beachy asks, would you rather have Jonathan Dorr going into the Georgia game not having a field goal attempt in 2 games Or would you rather have him miss badly versus New Mexico?
Wow. Glass totally empty. Yeah. Obviously, the make that's not listed would be ideal. A 42-yarder down the pipes. I'd probably have another miss against New Mexico than never kick. Huh?
I
don't know.
I don't think it makes a difference. Honestly.
You think he's going to be nervous no matter what?
Between those two choices, I don't think it makes a difference. Both are not
ideal.
It's good
if he goes 3 for 3 no matter what you say.
Even if he goes 3 for 3, I don't know how much that's going to help going to Georgia.
I mean, at least I think he's probably going to need a little bit more sense of urgency than what he did with the 5 extra points as it relates to, field goals and stuff, obviously. But I thought he came out with a good approach. He was very relaxed. He drilled them. I don't think that he came close to missing any of those, did he? I don't recall that. The choice between these two, neither are very good.
But Pete is right about one thing. There is nothing Jonathan Dora could do, nothing, that would make us think he's going to hit his first 44-yarder at Georgia. There's nothing he can do that you think he will make the first 44-yarder.
Not that he won't, but there's nothing that would give
that will make me think, this is going down the middle. There's no way. It's just a different
He could hit a 55-yarder in front of a quiet Notre Dame Stadium audience on Saturday, and it wouldn't have any impact on that. But
it'd be a good sign for the whole year if he hit a 55-yarder.
Yeah, that would be good. And I just, again, you can't control these things. No. He had 5 extra points. That's what he was afforded, and he kicked them all with relative calm, and I think that's a good thing. On the road, he did that. On the road won't be the same as Georgia, but at least he did that.
Way to go, K-Man. Other than Ian Book, what one player are you expecting a big leap forward from game 1-2?
Julian Kareem and Khalid Okwara, both of them.
Yeah, they'll be really good, too.
Yeah.
I would say Chris Fink.
Goes hand-in-hand.
It does go hand-in-hand, but Fink didn't have much of a game at Louisville either, so I would throw his name out there.
I tell you who's going to have the biggest difference will be Kyren Williams.
I had him written
from
down.
One snap to a lot.
Yeah.
He's involved now. I
think Brock Wright scores a short touchdown this game.
That'd be good, too.
Not that we're necessarily measuring Brock Wright by his productivity from week to week, but I think they'll get him involved, and it's a short touchdown. Although, maybe you save that for a better opponent, for somebody like Virginia.
Save it for Georgia. He should score like 4. Be great. They've been saving Brock Wright's 4.
Sandbagging us for 2 years.
Anybody else that you think?
Holy crap, this is like Kyle Rudolph out here.
Anybody else that you think steps forward?
Was he a healthy scratch? That question's coming up. Is he a healthy scratch?
I don't know that for complete
and
certainty.
And they're not going to tell us either.
No, I don't know that
for complete. I would like to kind of see Aloe Gilman go start to finish, on it.
As opposed to just making some big plays.
Yeah, because, he was part of the slow start at Louisville, which was weird. Like, you get it from Drew White and Asmar Bilal, but,
And he slipped
Gilman
on it.
Was just, not great.
He slipped on that 44-yard run. I'm not sure he was going to hit the run fit anyway.
He got beat by Atwell on the crossing route on third down for a first down. He did not look like he normally looks. Atwell's good, but
that's really
a tough cover.
That player on the crossing route underneath is really difficult.
But I don't think it was he did everything he could either. He just didn't look like he could stay with him at all. Yeah, Gilman. Certainly, but the thing
I want to see Gilman look like a guy where, obviously you're leaving after this year. That's the Aloe Gilman I want to see.
Elliott was quiet in that game. Doesn't mean it's bad. Just quiet.
He was. I don't know that necessarily means he didn't play well. But, speaking of Dante Vaughn, we have a question from Wash ND. With Dante Vaughn, a healthy scratch against Louisville, do you think they're planning a Jameer Jones-style senior year for Vaughn so they can have him come back in 2020? Looking at the cornerback options in 2020, assuming Houston Griffin moves back to safety, Vaughn would most definitely be a starter and could provide some leadership for what would be a very young secondary.
It's all theoretical here. Theoretical that he was a healthy scratch, because Dante Vaughn has never been healthy since 2016, so maybe he couldn't practice very much in the last week, and he got beat up by 3 corners.
We know that he missed practice. He missed August practice due to some nicks.
It's theoretical that he would definitely be a starter next year, because Tariq Bracey and KJ Wallace could easily be the starters instead of Dante Vaughn, who might not be healthy next August. And it's theoretically he could provide leadership because he's never had to provide leadership.
And we know definitively, based upon me forcing you to ask Sean Crawford a question about a 6-year,
that Sean Crawford will not come back.
Will not be coming.
Death dagger stare I got for suggesting such a remarkable occurrence could ever.
I think Sean Crawford gives death dagger stares to a lot of people and doesn't even realize that he's doing it.
He's bigger. Notice he's bigger in the upper body. Do you notice, Pete? You were standing right there. He looked like he had.
I
thought he was a bigger kid, like lifting a lot.
Let me. Here's the difference, I think, between making a Vaughn and Jahmyr Jones comparison. Jahmyr Jones has been beaten out by guys that are better than him,
and they're great.
Right. They've wanted Dante Vaughn to win a job, and he can't do it even against guys that don't have a lot of playing experience.
I did suggest this exact question in April or May to a coach and was shot down by them saying, if Dante Vaughn can't do it this year, I don't know why he'd be able to do it next year, which also makes sense, right?
It does. I mean, it does.
The trust factor. I mean, if you have an open, you're not going to say, Dante Vaughn, we don't want you back. Because you have no quarters. I'm thinking
in terms of Jahmyr Jones, since that's what the comparison
is. Yeah, Jahmyr, they really are planning on doing it, or he would have played.
It's been suggested directly.
They've said that loud, yeah.
If they can figure out a way that, like, if Dante Vaughn is really hurt, and he's not healthy until October, I would absolutely not play him more than four games.
No, agree, and see if it's an option for you.
Yeah, just see how it goes.
I don't think that's the plan now, do you?
I mean, I think it's just sort of wait and see. I got this same question in my mailbag, and when you take out Gilman, you take out Crawford, you take out Vaughn, this is what you have left. Avery Davis, Tariq Bracey, Houston Griffith, KJ Wallace, Isaiah Rutherford, Landon Bartelson, Caleb Offord, Clarence Lewis, Kyle Hamilton, Litchfield Ajavon, and DJ Brown.
And you also take out Jalen Elliott. I don't think you said him. So,
well, yeah, no, he's okay. There's no option for him.
Oh, okay,
to come
I
back.
Got you.
So you tell me, is that a secondary that's contending for the college football playoff or not? Dante Vaughn doesn't make a difference.
I was about to say that's not.
But I would rather have one more guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're missing in recruiting, which they are right now, you could count Dante Vaughn as a recruit in next year's class.
Sure.
Bank the scholarship that way, and then he moves on.
Right.
And hopefully your recruiting picks up in 2021.
Right. I think the two situations are different, but it could ultimately end up the same.
Yeah, I hope it does. I've long rooted for Dante Vaughn to make an impact.
Why? Because you have him ranked. Where'd you have him ranked?
Sixth.
Sixth in the class.
Magic sixth.
Kaiser Wilhelm, what are your thoughts on Avery Davis moving positions yet again? Is this a temporary stopgap measure, or is the defensive back experiment already a bust?
I don't know if it's already a bust or if it's temporary, but I know he's better at running better on offense than he is on defense, because he was not going to win a job in the secondary this year.
No, but as we just went over, he could win one next year.
Right, that's why I don't know if it's temporary or stopgap or not, but he won't win one next year either. He's not in the corner.
So you're telling me that Brian Kelly could move him back to defense at some point?
I mean, how many positions did Cam McDaniel play?
Just two.
Before he led the team in rushing.
Yeah, but he had a deal with Kelly. I've talked to Cam about this. He's like, I accepted. They called me in the office. I accepted being moved to corner. I walked out of the office. I turned around and walked back in and said, 1 year, right? And Kelly promised him 1 year, and then it wasn't even 1 year. He played freshman year. He ran as a freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, they just had nobody. That's when they were still reeling from not having any numbers of recruiting. You named names at least. They didn't have names to put back there when Cam McDaniel had to do it.
Avery Davis, first of all, if there's any chance they're going to give him the football in a live situation, he's got to hold on to it. Did he fumble twice?
Twice against Stanford.
Twice against Stanford. So, yeah, he's a really, really good athlete. He hasn't proven to be a really, really good college football player yet at any position, but I would agree with you that if there's a position where he's going to show some promise, it'll be with the football in his hands offensively.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it's going to change games, but...
No.
Irish Fan 425, given that Jafar Armstrong and Jahmyr Smith are both injured, do you think it would be beneficial to solely run Kyron Williams, Sebo Flemister, and Avery Davis against New Mexico in order to keep Jones fresh and healthy for Georgia? The last thing we need are our top three running backs hurt before we're going between the hedges.
I just don't think that that's a realistic scenario. You don't just sit Tony Jones Jr. because...
I do it 42-0.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, but you just don't go into the game and say, okay, son, you're not going to play because we're going to build a big lead. Tony Jones Jr. needs... If he's your lead back, he needs every rep that he can get up to a point in a game like this.
No more than, he shouldn't have more than 12 carries in this
game. Yeah, I think 15 carries is fine. If he has 23 carries, I will wonder what in the world are they doing. Kyron Williams is the guy I want to see play more because he got yanked too quickly against Louisville. And I think he's the guy that sort of can be a like-for-like replacement for Jafar Armstrong the most. As a running back who can actually line up in the slot.
I want to see him, but I want to see Sebo Flemister, too. I'd like to see Sebo Flemister carry like eight times in a game. I mean, where he can get a little bit of rhythm in a series where he carries five times in one series.
That's where I would like Jones to be down to 10, 12. So Flemister's 8, 10. Yeah.
But, I mean, and not to jump on your Irish fan 425, but, I mean, that's just not.
They never do that.
You know, I mean, it's not like the NBA where LeBron James stays home for a for a road game.
Tony Jones, LeBron James, maybe not. But,
What are you saying,
Tony? If you're listening, you just got compared to LeBron James.
You have to let him play, and if you want to monitor, maybe it's eight carries at some point, and that's enough. Then that's fine too. ND1012. Do you feel Notre Dame has a deep threat at wide receiver that can keep defenses honest? If so, what players are they?
I mean, Braden Lindsay. I think Lawrence Keys could do it. Chris Fink is not slow.
Healthy Michael Young.
Eligible Kevin Austin. I mean, you just need somebody to throw it to him. You have a quarterback willing to do it.
You can do it. Chase Claypool is your best receiver. Let him run and throw him the ball deep. There's no reason why you can't do it. Is he as flat out fast as Miles Boykin? It doesn't matter. He can make plays behind him, above him.
He made plays downfield all of August. I would really like to see them in September, especially next week. I don't care if he plays this week.
Young
was making plays downfield all of August.
Anybody can be a deep threat if you choose to make him a deep threat. Just about anybody.
So this is a Braden Lindsay question, though. What? Surprised he didn't play?
Am I right on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they threw a deep ball to Omar Jenkins once or twice.
That's why you were laughing?
Yeah, that's why
I was laughing. You thought of the corner route against Florida State? Mm-hmm. Is that the,
Omar, if you're listening, man, don't hold it against
Florida State. Yeah. Win.
There you go.
It's more than anybody I'm about to name right now did. So, Braden Lindsay, he did not. Were you surprised he didn't play? There's six receivers, five play. I mean, that was weird for me.
A little bit. The game, the dynamics of the game were.
Not looking downfield?
Yeah. I guess I was a little surprised.
I want to see him play now.
I think if Jafar had been hurt before the game started, I bet Lindsay would have been the game plan.
We don't know for certain that he was 100% healthy.
No, we don't. We definitely don't. You never know that about the
guys. You're talking about Braden Lindsay.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we just don't. You know, we try to ask about all those things, and Brian Kelly's pretty good most of the time answering it, but
we didn't. We're not going to ask about Braden Lindsay.
Okay, for example,
I'll put it on my list tonight.
Get that in as your second question.
For example, if Brian Kelly on Monday has not asked about Jameer Smith's toe, which obviously was some intel, then we wouldn't know about that. You can't ask about every player, and they're not going to volunteer that information, so we don't know that for certain.
Irish 1137, any update on Michael Young's injury? Speaking of Young, any chance he could be healthy for Georgia?
Brian Kelly said he's about a week behind Komet. Their injuries occurred 13 days apart. I don't know. I think the surgeries ended up being 13 or 14 days apart. I don't think there's any chance he's ready for Georgia.
One's a cyborg and one's a guy that has
Again, this is one of those situations that if Komet doesn't play until Georgia, it will have been 6 weeks since the surgery. Until we hear something otherwise with Michael Young, I'm still thinking Michigan, game seven after the bye week.
Which is way past Georgia. Not really. I mean, that's what we both think too, right?
Michigan. It's a month behind Cole Komet.
That's where I think he is.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything that makes me think that Michael Young is... Brian Kelly's he's a week behind is the only bit of information, like...
That's the least...
On or off the record that I've heard about Michael Young.
And that's certainly not a definitive opinion out
also,
there.
Also, this is the old... We're comparing him to Cole Komet's injury recovery. It's like saying, Drew Tranquil got out there. Why can't every linebacker play with a broken ankle and a broken wrist? They can't. Cole Komet came back with the worst high ankle sprain in the world in a week. He's just a different guy. I don't think Michael Young's coming back very soon. And that's not a commentary on Michael Young. That's human beings getting healthy.
I mean, it's a broken collarbone for crying out
loud.
What the hell's going on here? I mean, Komet is, even Komet, they said, what was it initially? Did they say three to six? Did Kelly
Wasn't
say?
He the 4-10 guy? He was 4-10, right?
Yeah.
Well, but that came after. Right. That came after an initial
the reporting on it initially was like 3 to 5.
Right.
And I did not report that, but some people did. And I was like, it seems kind of short for a broken bone. And then Kelly also said, like, how long does it take a broken bone to heal? I don't know, but then it's like, oh, he's a week behind with his broken bone versus...
Did you raise your hand and say longer than 3 weeks?
Yeah. It's like, I know that's not true.
Yeah, so. I would maybe USC, but you know how those... And there is the notion that they... Okay, well... And, okay, here's the thing. With the bye week, there's always the likelihood that they're not going to play them the week before the bye week, because we got a bye week coming up and we can save them for 2 more games.
And if he doesn't play until Michigan, and he's a 4-game guy too.
That's
and
what
if you go to the playoffs, he's not a 4-game guy,
that's
obviously.
What I was trying to say, but you scared me out of saying it.
I thought you were going to talk about another receiver.
No. No, there is the possibility that If you get to Michigan and he hasn't played, you're just going to play him 4 games the rest of the year and preserve the year of
playoff contention. You don't. You play him 6 and 7.
Right.
But exactly. No, you got to sit him.
That's right. Like
the Myron Tagovailoa most of.
Don't play him against Clemson because you might need him against Alabama.
All right. I want to save these last two questions and jump to another question on Twitter from Kalise_fam_5. Ian Book is a high floor, low ceiling kind of quarterback. Solid at everything, excels at nothing. Whoa. On a team that is limited at the playmaker positions, I don't feel he's good enough to beat top 10 teams. Please tell me I'm wrong.
Well, first of all, you're wrong that he excels at nothing. He's the most accurate single-season quarterback in the history of Notre Dame football.
Stanford was ranked in the top 10.
Yeah, it's like he excels at nothing. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, he excels at stuff that's not super showy, but those are some of the things he did not excel at against Louisville.
Right, and that's why it didn't look right.
Right, that's why we were all confused, because like, wait, you make the decision correctly on RPOs all the time. Oh, wait, you're usually accurate in short spaces. You move around behind the line of scrimmage pretty well and don't take off and run. Like, what's going on? That was why Louisville was so confusing, is his strengths, the thing that he's really good at, just weren't there at that level against Louisville.
Can Ian Book beat a top 10 team just based upon his sheer ability to throw the football? I mean, he needs help. The offensive line has to play well against that top 10 team. You know, they have to run the football well in a game, you know, by himself. No,
not like Kyler Murray. Is that what they're trying to say? I mean, also, top 10 is not the same as top 4 and 5, because those guys are really good, the top 4 and 5. I would say Ian Book's leaps and would have to be leaps and bounds better than we have seen him, other than Wake Forest and Stanford, to beat Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU. And that doesn't include
but
the
I would
top
I would argue that the
he
Notre
could beat
Dame
Florida and Michigan.
I would argue that the Notre Dame team is not good enough to beat those Clemson top, and Alabama. Right, those teams.
Yeah, but not top 10 teams. They can beat Florida and Michigan, and if Book plays a great game, they can beat these other teams too. It's just the top two teams are a different level right now.
I agree.
Let me squeeze another one in here. I like logic. How much more of Kyle Hamilton will we see this week, and how hard is it for Notre Dame to get him snaps with two elite senior safeties on the roster already? I think, Tim, you and I talked about this on Monday a little bit.
I thought they did a good job of getting him. They subbed out Elliott.
How many snaps? 20 some. How many snaps?
26.
26 snaps.
13 were in base defense.
Not the third of the game.
I think it was pretty good.
I do too. Subbed out Gilman 1 series. Subbed out Elliott 1 series. They should do that again this game. Maybe one more. I'm getting Hamilton out of the game in the late fourth quarter. On
yeah,
really? Aren't you?
Well, Saturday? Yeah. DJ Brown needs to be in that kind of game then.
And then they would have had a little bit better run. He would have played more nickel too.
Yeah, I don't. This is a question that we're getting frequently now, and I just, as a Notre Dame fan, I wouldn't worry about whether he's going to get on the field enough. He's going to get plenty of action, 26 snaps in the first game. You know, it depends on who you take out to put Kyle Hamilton in. If you're finding ways to get him on the field with Elliott and Gilman, I think that's good. If you're taking those guys out of the game in game situations and crucial situations, you're putting a guy that's going to obviously be a great player and already showed that, but you're taking another quality established college football player off the back end of the defense.
That's a better tackler. They're both better tacklers right now. Of course they are.
Well, sure. I
mean, Gilman's Gilman may always be.
I didn't even that one missed tackle by Hamilton. No, I'm going to give him that. I'm not even.
They're still better tacklers right now.
No doubt about it. Do I have another one here? Okay, one more from Irish Gambler. Will the Irish pass rush get home against New Mexico? How will the back seven fare if Notre Dame does not apply pressure?
I think the healthy back seven's fine right now. I'm thinking of Hamilton in there, like the nickel, but they won't fare well next week if they don't apply pressure.
Yeah, the question is about New Mexico, and I don't know that New Mexico has enough in its passing game, you know, to really...
Virginia will give Notre Dame huge issues if Notre Dame's pass rush isn't what we think it is. How's that? We know Georgia obviously would.
Yeah, because it's also, I think, you know, you have a mobile quarterback there who can make you pay if you're going to freelance at defensive end because you think that's what you can do and you're that talented. So it's I would just like to see Okwara and Kareem impact the game in some way, which they really did not
I feel
do.
You've mentioned that several times, and those were two of the guys that I wrote down that I was expecting to take a huge leap, as did you. I really expect, especially, well, I mean, both those guys. They have so much pride. They have so much pride in the effort that they put forth that I have little doubt that they're going to be really, really good this weekend. Okay, let's go to these last two from at Woj to God. And it simply says, Mike Mayock, Pat Hayden, Doug Flutie, go.
Doug Flutie had the best week.
How's that?
Mike Mayock's not had a good week. Pat Hayden's university has not had a good week. Oh. So, yeah, Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie wins this week.
But
we're announcing Doug Flutie.
The question is, rank them as...
I love Mike Mayock as an announcer.
Yeah.
Didn't you? We're universal. Oh, yeah. I don't know how people didn't like Mike Mayock. They don't like football. It was great.
I'm at a loss.
Was he maybe at times too enthusiastic for people? I don't know.
I think the criticism of you is two X's and O's. Like a little too wonky.
I didn't think it was over the top.
Not for us, like, but just
I mean,
for,
come on, look at us.
Yeah. Us smart guys. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But like the casual fan. That was NBC's perspective.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's my perspective. I'm just saying that was what NBC thought.
I grew up listening to Pat Hayden on CBS with Brent, and I thought he was pretty good. I think maybe when he did every single Notre Dame game, that's when it came out that Notre Dame fans didn't like him because he was a USC guy. But don't you remember him being the color comment for national games?
No, he was good. Really good. I never thought he was biased against Notre Dame.
No, but I can see why. When Notre Dame's losing every game in the Weiss and Willingham era, then people aren't going to like Pat Hayden, right?
No, I get that. But I thought he was a professional.
How many home games they lost under those guys? You get sick of Pat Hayden probably, too, if you're just a fan
listener. So we'd be in agreement. We'd rank them Mayock, Hayden, Flutie.
I believe so.
That's a pretty easy one. All right, we're going to wrap up with this last question. It is from JJ Allwine. Is it too early to start hoping Jim Harbaugh gets canned and Notre Dame can scoop up lost recruits like McGregor, Henning, Morant? Henning might look good in the secondary.
Yes.
It's too early?
Why,
because he's 40-14 as the head coach at Michigan?
That's part of it.
And he won last week.
Yeah.
He's 2-0.
Is all part of
you know.
There's a lot of
the
weird
6 year the six years
stuff on this podcast.
The
recently.
6 years before Harbaugh, and he's 40-14 right now. And I know, look, I get it.
I hope Jim Harbaugh leaves.
He loses. He's lost almost all the big games. I get that. But in the 6 years prior to him, they were 43-33. So Michigan is
43-33.
Yes,
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Think
yes.
about that.
Right,
with an 11-2 in there.
Yes, exactly.
That is really bad.
So in five of those 6 years, they were 32-31. They're not firing Jim Harbaugh.
No,
especially because they did beat Army last week.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. But look, what makes Notre Dame fans happier than being able to say, like, I told you Michigan was overrated.
Well, if you,
other than winning, maybe.
If you heard
that's like six of one, half dozen of another.
If you heard us on Monday.
I did.
I mean, obviously.
You started with Michigan Notre for 5 minutes.
Yeah, Notre Dame obviously could have struggled against Army.
Army's good.
So, anyway. I don't think Braden McGregor would change his commitment anyway.
Should we do predictions then for this week?
Yes, we should. Thank you
for reminding me. What do you got?
48-9.
Okay.
There you go. Cover.
I'm going 63-9.
He's going for it.
You are going for it.
I'm I'm Ball State reluctant to go more than to go to 60, although I certainly think that Notre Dame could do that. I'll have my prediction for tomorrow's preview, but it will be
tight, right?
It will be close. More than 50 for one team.
Less than
21 for the other. Less than 20 than the other. So the only question is the point spread, right?
I ultimately
make my pick.
Yeah, I do too.
Sure that I clear the point spread one way or another.
It gets interesting next week. I have a good streak going. I have not missed a game since Miami.
In terms of
the winner. No, gosh, no.
Oh,
the winner.
Okay.
Yeah, Ball State. But Miami. Yeah.
By the way, I want to complain that
I think I might be in the same boat.
I had Louisville covering and they end up losing by 18. It's a damn push. That's just not fair. That's why don't gamble, kids.
Unless you want to win.
Okay. All right, O'Malley and I will see you before the game on Saturday against New Mexico and post game and da 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 da. Fun week next week. Yeah, definitely will be fun, and we will be back with our podcast on Monday, the 16th of September. Thanks for joining us on Irish Illustrated Insider.
It's time to start planning your trip to Notre Dame. Rent Like a Champion is South Bend's largest vacation rental company with over 1,000 weekend home rentals available close to Notre Dame Stadium. Head to rentlikeachampion.com/illustrated to get $100 off your booking when you use the promo code Irish2019. That's rentlikeachampion.com/illustrated, promo code Irish2019.